Hello, and welcome to the Bounded Enthusiasm Podcast. I'm your host, Jonathan Liu. I'm back from my winter hiatus and hope to have more interviews with people who make really cool things. Today, I'm speaking with Victoria Jameson, who is an author, illustrator, roller derby skater, and a mother, among other things. Her latest book is Roller Girl, released on March 10th. Hi, Victoria. Welcome to the Bounded Enthusiasm Podcast. Thanks for being on the interview with me today.
Thanks for having me.
So we're here to talk about your book, Roller Girl. First, I guess, tell us a little bit about what the book is.
Sure. It's for younger readers, middle grade, so about 8 to 12 years old. It's a graphic novel about a girl named Astrid. She's 12 years old, who discovers roller derby. It's kind of a roller derby story, but at the same time, it's a story about her friendship with her best friend. It's one of those stories where she and her best friend start to realize they have different interests and they start to grow apart. So I feel like it's an exploration of that friendship as much as it is about roller derby.
You also skate in the Rose City Rollers, and you did decide to set the book, you know, in Portland. There's a lot of the real Portland locations and things in the book. How did you decide what to include of yourself in the book?
That's a good question. And I really wanted to keep it in a site-specific city. I've always loved books that have been very, you know, detail-oriented about the town it's set in. I loved Ramona books when I was a kid, and I loved that it was set in Portland, and it had very Portland-specific things to it. And so I did, and I tried to include bits of myself throughout the book with different characters, not just Astrid, but the other characters in the book. And I try and do that in my books. I think that gives, like, a real sense of honesty in books in some ways, because I think your own memories are often a way that you can relate to readers, because a lot of feelings and memories are universal. So I think I put a bit of myself into all the characters in the book.
Speaking of like real world locations, I was curious, there are some places that are exactly as they are in real life. I mean, you didn't rename the hangar, you didn't rename Oaks. I think Oaks Parks is still called Oaks Park. Yeah, there's a 7-Eleven at some point. But they go to Burger Town. And I looked at it, I was like, well, that really looks like a Burgerville sign, but it's Burger Town. And I was just curious if that was an intentional change where you didn't want to put Burgerville in there. Or, you know, if there's other things that you changed, just, you know, what the reasons were for that.
I love Burgerville. I would have put them in. And actually, the 7-Eleven, you must have had an advanced copy.
Oh, that was out of your making of. I saw the making of.
Yeah, it changed 7-Eleven to Easy Mart or something, and then right. You know, Walgreens, it changed to a generic pharmacy. And I was worried about using Rose City Rollers. I had to get permission from the league to use those names. I think I was worried about approaching Walgreens or 7-Eleven to get their permission, so I just changed it to make it a little easier.
Did you have to talk to Oaks Amusement Park about it?
I didn't knock to Oaks. I hope they don't sue me.
I mean, I think, you know, in terms of a book that's set in a real world, I think it's okay. You know? I think that qualifies as fair use. But you did include, I know, a lot of the people in the book, like the adult skaters and even actually the junior derby skaters who are on you know, skating with Astrid. Like, a lot of those derby names are actual derby skaters.
They are, and that was really interesting because my publisher was very keen on getting everyone's permission, even though they're derby names, they're not exactly, you know, copyrighted or anything. So I had to approach all of the skaters and get them to sign release forms, even though it's, you know, not their, you know, real legal names. And yeah, it is funny because especially when I started derby, derby names were much more proprietary, so it was very taboo to take someone else's name.
Right.
So I had to go through the list and make sure that only one person owned the derby name, and I contacted them and sent them email forms. But one of the fun parts of writing the book was there was a whole team of junior skaters. So there were 16 girls that I had to find derby names for, so I reached out to junior leagues in Australia and Sweden and Canada and all across the U.S., and so all the junior skater names are real junior skaters. And that was just really fun for me to get to talk to junior skaters around the world.
Yeah, that sounded like a fun. And I saw your interviews with a couple of them in the Making of book, which I should mention is a free download on your website, right?
Yes, yes. And I got the idea from a Making of book I saw, Making of Templar by Jordan Mechner. So I thought that was a great idea.
I've read Templar. I have not seen the Making of book. I will have to make a note to go look that up.
Great, yeah.
But we'll definitely include a link to the making of on your website. I did go through and look at the comics you had done that are completely autobiographical mm-hmm. that are on your website about being in roller derby and trying out and all of that. Had you been doing those at the time, like while you were actually skating, or did you do those afterward?
I know, I was doing those while I was skating, kind of week by week.
Were the other skaters keeping up with that?
They were. And I got really great support for the comics. And I'd been a little worried because it would be like, we'd have a bout, and then I'd write a comic about it. And people would say things to me like, oh, I can't wait to see what you're going to write about this, like endurance practice or something.
Right.
All the feedback I got was really, really great. So it was a little weird, you know, I was writing about how I did terribly in this one bout, and I'd write about it. But everyone was very supportive.
That's cool. With the derby names now, so I know your own derby name, Winnie the Pal.
Yes.
Can you tell us the story about how you decided on Winnie the Pal? How long did it take you to decide on a derby name?
It took a while to find the right one. And like I said, when I first started derby, the names were much more proprietary, so there was a big list online that you couldn't copy someone else's name.
Right.
I definitely wanted a kids' book themed name, so a lot of the great ones, like, I don't know, Hermione Danger, and I don't know, there's a whole bunch of great book names were already taken, so I couldn't take any of those names. So I had a list. Green Eggs and Slam, I think, was on there. Encyclopedia Frown was a runner-up. Jacob Have I Shoved, that was one of my favorites.
Did someone have that one? Or?
No, no one had that one. But you need to have a good nickname with a derby name, too. So
right.
I didn't call Jake or anything, or Shove. So I thought Winnie the Pal was cute. I could be Winnie, I could be Pal. That's how I chose that one.
So my two older daughters are both in the Rose Petals, and they both came up with names pretty quickly. Although the younger one, she had her name picked out well before she was old enough to be in roller derby. So her name is Cthulhu because she loves Cthulhu for some odd reason. She hasn't read any Lovecraft, but she knows who Cthulhu is. And so she came up, I think her older sister helped her come up with that one. But the older one is Square Knot. And that's one that I think she, you know, we had kicked around a couple names and, you know, my wife had suggested some and she's like, nope, I've got this one.
Yeah, that's great. The right one, you just know.
Yeah. And my wife, on the other hand, agonized over names for, you know, I don't know how long.
And I've seen pictures of your youngest daughter in derby gear, so I think you're going to have a third one coming up.
Yeah, right? Yeah. She's got a couple years before she's allowed to join the pedals, but she goes to practices and she cheers for them and she signs for official timeouts. And she loves Roller Girl too. Actually, I want to say, you know, our advanced copy is well worn. I don't know how many times it's been read by all of the people in her family. She our toddler can't say Roller Girl, but she says girl, and we know, you know, this is the book she's talking about.
That's very adorable.
She likes the Warface page.
Yeah, that's something that for my team. We used to do that in preparation for bouts, where we do our Warface and everyone would yell really loud.
Right. Yeah, so she found that page, and yeah, because we had read parts of this to her, and she likes that page. She'll flip to that page and just go, ah! And then she's also learned to do the Rose City Rollers fists together because of the t-shirt that Astrid's wearing.
Oh, yeah.
There's, you know, Astrid's wearing the t-shirt with the logo, and so our daughter does that now.
It's very cute. That t-shirt was a pain to do because I tried not to make her wear that in too many scenes because it was such a pain to put that logo on the shirt all the time.
Right, right. I know from your making of, you know, you said that a lot of the kids, or at least, you know, the relationship with Nicole and the relationship with some of the other kids was based on your own friendships. When you were writing the book, did you know where you wanted that relationship to go within this particular story?
I think I knew I wanted them to grow apart, but I didn't want it to be cut and dry, like that one character was bad and one character was good.
Mm-hmm.
I wasn't exactly sure when I started off writing the book how they would resolve their friendship by the end. And that was actually the hardest part of the book for me to write, how to leave it sort of open-ended at the end, that they were still friendly to each other, but something had definitely changed in their friendship. They weren't enemies or anything.
Mm-hmm.
But it was hard to strike that balance, you know, that bittersweet note that I really wanted to get. I watched a lot of some old Wonder Years episodes. There was an episode where Winnie and Kevin broke up, and so I watched that episode for a little bit of inspiration.
Right.
We're really going to get that sort of delicate balance between of that.
Mm-hmm. My older daughter's in sixth grade, and she was just remarking to me earlier today that, you know, middle school, like, everything's changing. And I know when she went to middle school, you know, actually a lot of her friends are at different schools. But this is something where when I was reading it, I thought, you know, this is a great book for her because it prepares her a little bit mentally and emotionally for the idea that just because you grow apart from friendships you had in elementary school, you know, it's not terrible, right? It's not doing something wrong if you realize that, you know, well, I have different interests. You know, Nicole gets into, you know, ballet and Astrid is not interested at all. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I found that really, really helpful.
Yeah, and that's something I definitely took from my own life, and I talked to Nicole. I'm still friends with Nicole. We kind of reconnected as adults, so I made sure that, is it okay if I use your name and if I use some details of our friendship? But it really was a kind of growing up experience for me that when I moved away, and so Nicole and I just sort of drifted apart naturally. You know, it happens when you go to different schools and have different friends.
Yeah.
And I remember being really sad. So yeah, I remember that melancholy and sadness of being like, my friends are, what's happening to these friendships? They were so dear to me. I thought I would never, ever lose that friendship.
I did want to find out at the beginning of the book, what introduces Astrid to Derby in this book is that her mom takes her and Nicole out for this evening of cultural enlightenment. And they're expecting to go, you know, she's expecting to end up somewhere really boring and they wind up at a Rose City Rollers Derby bout. And my wife's question was, how did Astrid's mom come across roller derby? Did you have any sort of backstory about Astrid's mom and what is she doing and how did they wind up there?
That's a really good question and one I hadn't thought about until tonight, really. Even with all the characters, I had sort of a backstory in mind. So I had a whole backstory for the mom. Like they used to live in New York and she used to be a dancer herself, and none of this made the final book. But it gave me more of a sense of, what kind of woman she was, how she's raising her daughter. Mm-hmm. And it also came about because, now I have a baby and I'm trying to think of what kind of parent do I want to be. Mm-hmm. And so I sort of based it on what I want to do with my kids. Like, hopefully I'll search out different cultural events around town and try and find unique things that the kids would like. So I think that's where I got the idea for Astrid's mom, that she just seemed like this, kind of in touch with the community. She works at the university, so maybe she knows what the cool kids are doing. Uh-huh. And this is very involved with keeping her daughter, giving her new events to see and experience.
What was your introduction to roller derby?
Oh, through a book, which is how I find out about a lot of things. Uh-huh. I read the book Derby Girl that the movie Whip It was based on.
Right.
A book by Shauna Cross. And I actually got an advanced copy of that, I think at Book Expo America, when I was working in publishing. And I read that book, and it just blew my mind. I didn't know they were really interested. And so I was living in New York. I went to go see a Gotham Girls bout. I bought some skates. I went to Fresh Meat tryouts in New York, and I didn't make it. But I was really hooked right away, and I knew it had to be in my life somehow.
Mm-hmm. Our introduction was our family doctor actually skates on the high rollers, and so she had invited us to come see a bout, and she actually wasn't skating the first bout that we went to, but we saw it and we were immediately hooked, and it was actually my younger daughter was the one who said, I want to do this, and we found out that there was the junior league, and the younger daughter wasn't old enough yet, so the older one started. And now the younger one did, and my wife got into it, and so we're definitely a derby family.
Oh, that's great. And I love how it can really change your lives, really. Like, you mm-hmm. get a whole new set of friends. I don't know, it really did change my life.
Yeah. And I know your career, for our listeners, once you were in Portland, you start with Wreckers, right?
Mm-hmm.
Wreckers, which is a recreational league. And then there's Fresh Meat, which is you try out, you get them Fresh Meat. Then you were in the Breakneck Betties, which is one of the four home teams.
Yeah.
And then you did get onto Wheels of Justice, is that right?
I was on Axles of Annihilation.
Oh, Axles of Annihilation. Okay. And so how many years was that you were skating before? I know you stopped because you're having a baby.
Right. Let's see. Well, I started skating a little bit in 2008 when I was living in New York, and then I had to take some time off for moving to Portland. So I guess it was about maybe three years for the whole process from Wreckers to Travel Team, which I was on for just a few months before I realized it was very intense and a lot of not really for me. But yeah, and then I had to take the 9-month injury, as they call it. So now I'm just coming back the past 2 months, and I've really missed it. There's a big hole in your life when you can't skate.
my wife had gotten a knee injury, and so she's off skates for a while and is, I know it's just itching to be there and itching to be on skates.
One of our skaters broke one ankle, and then 3 months later she broke her second ankle, and now she's coming back.
How is your involvement with Derby? Does it feel different this time around as a mom, or does it feel, pretty close to the same?
No, for me it's very different. I think time is such a premium now that I don't think I would have the time to dedicate to Derby. And that's one of the things I love about Derby, that very few people get paid for Derby.
Right.
So much time to it. You're practicing 5, 6, 8 hours a week, and you're volunteering. Mm-hmm. And I think when you have a baby and you're trying, at least when I've had a baby and I'm trying to balance that with a career, and I'm finding it very difficult, and I don't see how Derby moms do it. to your wife and to your family, because it's hard. It's really hard. The drive to be a competitor anymore.
Mm-hmm. My perspective on Derby has mostly been on the junior program, of course. It's been really fun to see all these kids, growing and going from, not being able to skate at all to the really amazing stuff that they do on the track.
It's amazing. I coached a little bit for the Seedlings, which is the training program for Rosebuds. It was just great because the girls were fearless. They would do things, they wouldn't start falling down. As a grown-up, of course I'm terrified of falling down.
Right. The invincibility of youth.
And they were great because of it, because they weren't scared. They would get so much better very quickly.
Yeah. I wanted to ask you a little bit about your other books, because I know Roller Girl is your first graphic novel, but you've done picture books in the past. So can you tell me a little bit about what sort of picture books you've done? And I think, especially for me, I'm interested in the transition from doing picture books to writing Roller Girl, which is a substantial graphic novel. You didn't start small.
That's true. Yeah, it was an interesting transition. So I've done 3 picture books before this. I wrote and illustrated all those picture books. And it seemed like a pretty natural transition, actually. I think my picture books were always on the sort of lengthier side. Okay. I really, really admire authors like Mo Willems, or David Shannon, who can write these really pithy, small, like very contained, very seemingly simple, yet very complex picture books. Mm-hmm. And I never could do that. Mine were just very, they're kind of verbose and very long. And so I think a graphic novel let me just sort of spread out. And the subject matter sort of dictated it too, because I really wanted to write a book about roller derby. I knew that almost as soon as I started playing roller derby, I loved it, and it just had so many aspects of life in it that I could really write a story about. But a picture book didn't seem like the right venue to do it, so a graphic novel seemed right. And because my training's as an illustrator, I went to art school, I think of myself more of an illustrator than a writer, so I was kind of nervous to just write an actual novel. I thought a graphic novel would be kind of a natural transition. And because there are authors like Rena Telgemeier who had started writing and written her books, I kind of thought, oh, okay, that's what I could do. I could do something like that.
Did you start off thinking that it was going to be about a young girl doing roller derby? Did you ever consider having adults, or did you always think it was going to be a book for kids and about kids?
I always thought it would be for kids. And actually, the first time I sent it to my agent, it looked a lot like what it does now, but my agent thought, maybe you should, make it a little older, make it teens, it's roller derby, it should be like a little sexy or a little rougher. Uh-huh. But that's not me.
Right.
Any story I could write, I'm not cool. my sensibilities are a little younger. That's kind of the age range that I felt most comfortable in. So I always knew it would be for younger readers.
Okay. We definitely appreciate it in our house. I have a lot of books that my kids are, that I'm saving for, this one you can read when you're a little older, but Roller Girl is definitely one that, I think it's been fun to be able to have both of my older girls, both of them reading it and enjoying it. So we love it. It's just, it's been a lot of fun. I like the fact that it is this blend of roller derby, explaining a little bit about how roller derby works, but also kind of a coming of age story, you know, this sort of growth and change, and you know, like Astra discovering a little bit about herself and who she is, and not just, you know, who she is in relation to, you know, her friend Nicole.
Mm-hmm. Definitely the part that was as interesting, if not more interesting, for me to think about as I was writing the book, is how to tell the story of friendship while telling the story of roller derby and how the two could sort of intersect. Mm-hmm. I thought that was really interesting and really kind of a fun puzzle to put together.
So now you've got your first graphic novel written, and it releases March 10th. I know you're going to be doing you know, promotions and things like that for this book. Did you like the experience of writing a graphic novel, that you think you want to do that again? Do you think you will go back to writing some picture books before you tackle another graphic novel?
I did like the experience, and my next few books at least will be graphic novels. I have two that will be for younger readers than Roller Girl, kind of a first grade, second grade level book, and then another middle grade graphic novel in the works. So yeah, those are on the horizon. I really, really enjoyed it. You know, it was my first time doing one, but it is still, like, it felt very natural to me. I just enjoy writing for that age range, and it was a lot of work, but I really like doing it.
All right. Well, that's great. We'll have to follow up with you when those come out.
Thanks.
All right. Well, thank you so much for being on the podcast with me.
It was my pleasure. Thank you so much for having me.
This podcast has been a production of the Geek Dad Podcast Network. If you've enjoyed this content, please consider supporting us at patreon.com/geekdad.